पूछो किसको।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम ननतिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकं फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 25 टेक्स्ट नंबर 4 एंड 5 द ग्लोरीज ऑफ लॉर्ड अनंत। इट्स प्रोज सो विल जस्ट रीड द वर्ड्स इन द ट्रांसलेशन। यस्यांग्रिकमल युगलारुण विशदनकमणि संदमंडलेषु अहिपतय सहसात्मता ऋषिभय एकांत भक्ति योगानवमंत स्ववदनानि परिस्फुरत कुंडल प्रभा मंडित गंड स्थलानि अति मनोहरानि प्रमुदित मनस खलु विलोकयन्ति। ट्रांसलेशन द पिंक ट्रांसपेरेंट टोनेल्स ऑन द लॉर्ड्स लोटस फीट आर एक्जैक्टली लाइक वैल्युएबल जेम्स polished to a mirror finish. When the unalloyed devotees and the leaders of the snakes offer their obeisances to Lord Sankarshan with great devotion, they become very joyful upon seeing their own beautiful faces reflected in his toenails. Their cheeks are decorated with glittering earrings, and the beauty of their faces is extremely pleasing to see. The next verse. Yasseva hi nagaraja kumarya ashisha ashashanas charu anga balaya vilasita vishada vipula dhavala subhagaruchira bhujarajata stambheshu aguru chandana kumkuma pankunaya lepanu valimpanamanastat abhimarshadon matita hrudaya makara dhvajavesha ruchira lalita smita तद अनुराग मद मोदित मद विगूर्णितारुण करुणावलोक नयन वदनारविंदम सव्रीडम किल विलोकयन्ति। लॉर्ड अनंता'स आर्म्स आर अट्रैक्टिवली लॉन्ग ब्यूटिफुली डेकोरेटेड विद बैंगल्स एंड कंप्लीटली स्पिरिचुअल। दे आर वाइट एंड सो दे अपियर लाइक सिल्वर कॉलम्स। When the beautiful princesses of the serpent kings, hoping for the Lord's auspicious blessing, smear his arms with aguru pulp, sandalwood pulp and kumkum, the touch of his limbs awakens lusty desires within them. Understanding their minds, the Lord looks at the princesses with a merciful smile and they become bashful, realizing that he knows their desires. Then they smile beautifully and look upon the Lord's lotus face, which is beautified by reddish eyes, rolling slightly from intoxication and delighted by love for his devotees. Purport. When males and females touch each other's bodies, their lusty desires naturally awaken. It appears from this verse that there are similar sensations in spiritual bodies. Both Lord Ananta and women giving him pleasure at spiritual bodies. Thus, all sensations originally exist in the spiritual body. This is confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra Janmadasya Yataha. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commented in this connection that the word Adi means Adiras, original lusty feeling which is born from the Supreme. However, spiritual lust and material lust are completely different as gold and iron. Only one who is very highly elevated in spiritual realization can understand the lusty feelings exchanged between Radha and Krishna or between Krishna and the damsels of Raja. Therefore, unless one is very experienced and advanced in spiritual realization, he is forbidden to discuss the lusty feelings of Krishna and the gopis. However, if one is a sincere and pure devotee, the material lust in his heart is completely vanquished as he discusses the lusty feelings between the gopis and Krishna, and he makes quick progress in spiritual life. So I'm very happy to be back amongst all the devotees. And This is a very wonderful section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Glories of Lord Ananta, and then leading up to the most exciting part of this canto, the description of hellish planets, which is the last chapter of this fifth canto. And as Govind Prabhu was describing in one of his classes during our trip, most of the trip we landed up hearing each other's classes. Out of 60 days, 45 days we were giving morning classes, so many of those classes we were hearing each other. So, fifth canto is like a gate. And unless you pass through this gate, you cannot enter into higher realms of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore all kinds of far out descriptions are there in the fifth canto. And if we depend on our mundane logic, we will never be able to pass through this gate. Because such descriptions of mangoes falling and the juice, you know, running into a river and then being converted into gold by the influence of sun, and big elephants being snatched by flying eagles. And therefore, this can definitely test one's faith and known conceptions. So this fifth canto is a very, very important section. And it helps us understand that unless we come to the stage of putting faith in the words of the Shastra, in the words of the great souls and acharyas, one cannot make spiritual progress simply on the basis of logical reasoning and understanding. So logic and reason helps us come to a certain stage, but beyond that, we need to make that leap of faith. So today, I basically wanted to discuss about this concept of what exactly is the meaning of material and spiritual, as described here, lust and love. I was giving the example yesterday that Rasa Leela is very attractive. And one of the senior disciples of Prabhupada was giving this example that Rasa Leela is spiritual. It is like music. It is like melodious orchestra. See, in an orchestra, you have various kinds of instruments playing in symphony. The violin, the cello, the various kinds of pianos, and all of these, they are all playing melodious music. But if you bring this orchestra to a graveyard, and the orchestra starts playing in a graveyard, who will dance? Ghosts will dance. So therefore, orchestra may be high class, but if the orchestra plays in a graveyard, the only result of that is dancing of the ghosts. So therefore, Rasa Leela is like very attractive music. But problem is, our heart is like a graveyard, full of material desires. The ghosts of material desires will simply dance under the influence of this music. Therefore, unless one has the proper qualification, one cannot come in contact with any of these activities and still feel that he is capable of understanding them. Therefore, through all of these cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, one is gradually led to the highest stage of 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrita describes the difference between lust and love is that anything done in relationship with Krishna is love, and anything separate from Krishna is lust. Prabhupada gives a brilliant definition of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is defined as seeing the world Krishna sees it. Seeing the world the way Krishna sees. That is defined as Krishna consciousness. And therefore, the conception of lust and love is all dependent on how we are connected or disconnected from Krishna. So based on this, I wanted to discuss, since recently we were discussing about Ramayana at the manor and Goenpuru was discussing at the Soho Street. So one very interesting understanding which I wanted to share was of Maharaj Bharat, and we were discussing a lot about Maharaj Bharat. So Bharat Maharaj is a great personality, was a very devoted servant of Lord Ram. And all of us know that Kaikeyi made this intrigued and arranged for Bharat to receive that entire kingdom of Ayodhya and the throne of Ayodhya. And Kaikeyi felt that this is the greatest act of love and benediction which she can bestow upon her son, Bharat. And as a result of this, Lord Ramachandra, who was the legal heir to the throne, was banished to the forest. So according to the Acharyas, Bharata literally means one who bears the burden. Bhara vahati iti Bharata. One who was bearing the burden of having received this kingdom of Ayodhya. It was like a burden for him. He was bearing this burden because he could not accept anything which was at the cost of giving pain to the Supreme Lord. So therefore, people in this material world are extremely eager for material opulence and power. And Maharaj Bharat, without even trying anything on his own, received the entire opulence and the throne of Ayodhya. Power and throne is something which is so attractive. And the similar parallel we see in Mahabharata, that simply to obtain and retain the throne of Hastinapur, Duryodhan went through so much of intrigue. Duryodhan is a typical materialist, and he felt this power, this position, this opulence of the throne of Ayodhya is so attractive that I am willing to pay any cost to obtain it. And he went through a series of political maneuvers, all kinds of activities, simply so that he can get this throne. And here Bharat, without even plotting, scheming, doing anything from his own, even without dropping the slightest hint to his mother, had everything ready-made, arranged for him. And in one sense, even if someone has a desire within the core of his heart to obtain some material opulence and power, and he gets it without attempting, it is very difficult to refuse. The easiest thing for Bharat to have said was, maybe it is the Lord's arrangement. I just got it. Maybe there is some higher purpose to this. What to do? It is my destiny. And I have received it. But his name indicates Bharata. He considered this entire throne and kingdom to be a bhara, a big burden. Because he got it at the cost of causing pain to the Supreme Lord. So he considered this to be excruciatingly painful. It was like a big burden, a load, which he wanted to unload. That is what material opulence without connection with Krishna can do. It is simply nothing but a big load. And therefore, Bharata is that personality who was bearing the burden of an unwanted kingdom. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described in the second canto, Bhara param patta kirita jushtam apyukthamangam na namen mukundam. Suta Goswami is describing in a series of verses how if you are not connected with Krishna, bhara param patta kirita jushtam, that silk turban which someone adorns on top of one's head, that simply becomes a big burden if that head doesn't bow down in front of the Lord. So when one doesn't bow down in front of Krishna, one doesn't surrender to Krishna, doesn't take shelter of Krishna, then all of one's opulences become simply burden. It becomes a bhara. And another example Srila Prabhupada gives is just like if a drowning man wears this crown, that crown will only help him drown faster. Therefore, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, while describing the autumn season, Shukadeva Goswami describes, Naiva vidan kshiyamana jala gadha jalechara. In a pond, after the rainy season, the autumn season begins, and under the influence of the autumn sun, the water level goes down. As the water level recedes, the fish, which was so far completely blissful, flooded because of the influence of water in rainy season, doesn't see that the water level is receding. And he's thinking that the water is still there, because whenever he looks up, the water is there. But he doesn't know what is the level of water relative to the land. And therefore, someone from outside can see water level is going down and the fish is about to be perished. It is about to be finished. It is going to perish. But the fish himself is within the water and therefore cannot see the decreasing or the receding water level. So it is doomsday, but he cannot see it. Similarly, the materialistic person, it is described, yathayu anu aham kshayam naramudha kutumbina. So one who is absorbed in accumulating material opulence and who is completely absorbed in the concept of swimming in these opulences, he is thinking that I am safe, protected. So all of one's material opulences give us that false sense of security, that this can sustain us. And practically speaking, Prahlad Maharaj says, for a materialistic person, money is sweeter than honey. And for most people, money is like life. And if they lose that wealth and opulence, they feel life is finished. Therefore, the materialistic person has the misconception that material opulence can sustain me, just as the fish is convinced that the water is sustaining me. But as the water level is receding, he doesn't understand there is danger. So similarly, material opulences also recede. Over a period of time, we see that old age, disease and death are approaching. The influence of time factor in the form of the sun is taking away all opulences. But we are oblivious to that fact and not aware of impending death. And therefore, in due course of time, death will attack us and nothing can be done. Therefore, we have very limited time. Recently, I was reading in the Memories book about P.C. Sethi, who was very much attached to Srila Prabhupada and helped build many of the property in Juhu Temple. So he had migrated from Pakistan at the time of partition along with his family. So first time when he met Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada asked him, what do you do when you get up in the morning? And he said, when I get up in the morning, I refresh myself and then take my breakfast and then go to job. Prabhupada said, even pigs do that. As soon as they get up, they eat. What is the difference between you and a pig? So he got totally shocked because nobody had confronted him like this. And Prabhupada said, human life is meant for giving some time for chanting the holy names. And he said, I don't have time to chant and I don't have any association. Prabhupada said, don't worry, we will send association. And he told his devotees, go to Sethi's house every week for doing Harinam Sankirtan. So now he was caught. He was saying, I don't have association. Prabhupada arranged association. Still he didn't begin. And then he was bedridden in the hospital. And Prabhupada went to visit him. There were tubes all over his body. And Prabhupada said, take out these tubes. And he said, if I take out these tubes, I'll die. Prabhupada said, don't worry. You won't die. I'm sitting here, chanting. Take out. He said, but the doctors have said, if I take out these tubes, I'll die. Prabhupada said, take out. And he took it out. And then Prabhupada was chanting for next 5 hours, sitting next to him. After 5 hours, Prabhupada said, did you die? Just see, you're still alive. And Prabhupada said, do you know why this happened? Because when you left Pakistan and you were coming to Bombay, you had promised the Lord, when I come to Bombay, I have no security, I have no resources. If you can just arrange 1 lakh of rupees, a house and a good business, I will chant your names always. You had made that promise. But after coming to Bombay, you got your business, you got your money, but you forgot your promise. So Krishna put you in a situation where you could not enjoy any of what you prayed for. Now you better start chanting. And he actually took the process seriously and he helped devotees so much, risked his life and constructed Srila Prabhupada's quarters, and that whole building, the guest house building, was built because of his efforts. And then Prabhupada said that just as you are building these rooms for the devotees here, Lord Krishna is building rooms for you in Vaikuntha. And he said, but Prabhupada, I am so fallen, so sinful, how can I go to Vaikuntha? Prabhupada said, that is not your job, that is my job. I will take care. So, Srila Prabhupada, when he was preaching, he would confront people who were completely oblivious to Krishna consciousness, completely convinced that material opulence is the ultimate in life. And he would, through his preaching, transform them, relieve them of the burden of material opulences and the concept that all of these opulences can actually give me pleasure. Also, this material opulence is in one sense illusory. And Bhagavatam describes Putra Darapta Bandhunam Sangama Pantha Sangama. So it is not only heavy, it is not only cause of distress and dangerous, it is also illusory. And the example is that when we go to sleep at night, we dream. So when we dream, we see that, okay, I've created a big, huge enterprise. And then 2 hours, the dream progresses and I've made millions. And then 2 hours later, in the night only, while sleeping, during the dream only, suddenly there is some market collapse and I lose all the money. And I get up completely morose and distressed. And people ask me, what happened? And I say, I lost my business. Like, when did you have it in the first place? That I had it in the dream only. I made the money in the dream, lost it in the dream. And therefore I am feeling depressed. So therefore, Sangama Pantha Sangama, that means all of this attainment and loss is simply concepts within the dream. Therefore they say that the difference between children and adults is only the cost of their toys. The child plays with various toys and is convinced, I'm in control of these toys. And adults are playing with bigger toys. The cost is different, but both are having the misconception that I'm in control. Therefore, this is known as bhara or burden. And therefore, Bharat Maharaj's whole conception was, anything which I'm obtaining at the cost of sending Lord Ram to the forest without the association of the Lord, that which does not serve the Lord, which causes pain to the Lord, that is simply nothing but a burden. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Vidyara Bilase that not only material activities devoid of Krishna consciousness is a burden, but mundane knowledge devoid of Krishna consciousness is also a big burden. Jada vidya jata mayara vaibhava tomara bhajane badha. All this mundane knowledge is simply a display of illusory energy. And it is a badha. It is simply an impediment in your bhajan. Why it is a badha? Why it is an impediment? Because moha janamiya anitya sansare jivo ke karoe gadha. It simply increases one's attachment to this material world. Anitya samsare moha janamiya. One develops moha, illusion, that I am in control. Jivo ke karoe gadha, and makes the conditioned soul simply an ass, carrying load of all this mundane information, which is ultimately going to lead to destruction and death. So when Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture at MIT, Prabhupada said, "Your college is called MIT. Where is Almighty here? Where is the knowledge of Almighty? And if you do not have the knowledge of Almighty, all of this information is not going to save you at the time of death." I was just giving a talk at MIT, and the topic of the lecture was overcoming anger. And the first thing which happened was the LCD projector didn't work. And because the topic was overcoming anger, so I couldn't say anything also. But it was supposed to be the Mecca for technology. And they tried all their level best, but nothing worked. And then we just had a discussion, interaction. And then there was a professor in civil engineering. And this professor came up and said that she was like a double PhD. And, very expert in her field and gets millions of dollars funding for her projects. And she said, "I have only one problem. And as far as my field is concerned, I'm very expert. But anything which doesn't go according to my plan, I just cannot control my emotions. And I just blow up like anything. And I'm totally servant to this emotion of anger. I blow up on my colleagues, I blow up on students, I blow up on my family, and I just don't know how to control this anger. So therefore, as soon as I heard this topic, overcoming anger, I thought, I have access to all this technology, but I don't have access to technology which helps you control these parts of our own systems. Therefore, these kind of presentations are very important. And next time I will bring more professors, because many of them are like that. They have a lot of information of technology, but no control over their own systems." Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he says, all of this information and knowledge which we acquire, it simply makes us an ass, because we carry it. And ultimately, at the time of death, we have to leave everything and go. So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "Sei gada hoy samsarera bojha bahinu katai bahinu anek kal." I'm carrying this burden of mundane knowledge for such a long time. I'm carrying this burden of material existence for such a long time, aneka kala, but now bardhya ke ekhona. Now I have become so old, and I see that shaktir abhave, all of my senses have become weak. And all of the senses which I used for sense gratification is all finished. And therefore, I am in a totally frustrated state. Kichu nahi lage bhalo. Nothing appears to be pleasurable. Everything appears to be frustrating. And this is going to be the condition of anyone who follows this path of simply trying to acquire material opulence. And this is a very, very important principle. So here, the whole idea is, as soon as we get connected with mundane knowledge, we think it will help us in enjoying the senses. As Bhavanand Prabhu was saying, Prabhupada was one time in Mayapur. And he had his chadar on and he took his arms like this. And he said, when I was young, I could eat so many puris and halwa. Then he pointed to his, arms, which were very thin now. And he said, now, flat tire. Old age means everything is finished. So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Shaktir Abhave. As time progresses, the water level is going to recede. All opulences, all material strength is going to be taken away. And whatever we cherished as important becomes simply a load, a bhara. And that load will simply bury us deeper and with great force. Therefore, taking shelter of material opulence is like taking shelter of a big, palatial, huge building in an earthquake-prone area. Palace is great, but if it is an earthquake-ridden area, which is famous for earthquakes, then the chances of being killed definitely is greater. Because all of that superstructure is simply going to fall on the head when the earth shakes. And therefore, material opulence will ultimately create misery. So Bharat Maharaj's life's example is very, very interesting because he totally rejected the offer. There was no need for him to go to the Lord in the forest. All he could do was, oh, Lord has already gone. He's following his father's instruction. Therefore, let me just do the needful. It is the will of the Lord. If he was not honest, he would have just continued enjoying the opulences. But he felt this entire kingdom and this throne is like a big load. Therefore, he is called Bharata. But he went to the forest, met the Lord, pleaded with the Lord, my dear Lord Ram, please return back and take care of this kingdom. This kingdom is yours. Lord Ramachandra said, no, you have to go and accept it. It is our father's order. He didn't accept it. The sages, they were trying to convince him using so much of logic, so much of argument. Bharat would not accept it. Finally, the Lord said, it is my order. You have to do it. And therefore, Bharat Maharaj, he accepted the Lord's sandals as the representative of the Lord, and he agreed to take care of the kingdom on behalf of the Lord. So this is the other understanding of Bharata. That Bharata means one who finds material opulence to be a load, a burden. But the second understanding is, if it is the Lord's desire, and if it is in the service of the Lord, and the Lord or any of his representatives give an instruction and order, then he is willing to go through any amount of pain, willing to bear any amount of burden simply for sake of service. So Bharat Maharaj returned back with the Lord's sandals, just so that he could continue taking care of the kingdom as a service to the Lord. And although it was personally very painful for him, he is Bharata, one who is willing to go through any amount of burden for the sake of seva. And this is a very important principle. So a devotee, in the course of his service, must be, number one, blissful. Blissful, accepting every opportunity for service, although there may be so many situations, because this chance for service is so rare. So a devotee is always in bliss. So when we are chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we are praying, O divine energy of the Lord, Hare, O all attractive Krishna, please engage me in your service. That is the prayer. But when we pray, many times it is so mechanical when we forget it. And then when we see someone coming, we become afraid that he may give me some service. So our prayer many times becomes, O my dear Lord, please engage him in your service. Please. Why? Because of our conditioned nature. And we think certain services to be big burden. And therefore here, Bharat Maharaj was willing to accept the burden in the Lord's service. So therefore, in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, the verse says, Lord Brahma is praying, Tattenu kampa susamekshamano bhunjana eva atmakritam vipakam. That a devotee is blissful in all circumstances because he sees every situation as nothing but the Lord's arrangement. Bhunjana means, I give the example of cooking, that when you have a potato, then the potato has to go through various stages before it can become a potato sabji to be offered to the Lord. So potato has to be peeled. It has to be cut, chopped into pieces. And if you ask the potato at that stage, how does it feel? It is not a blissful experience. But after it is chopped and cut, the next stage it is fried in oil. Hot oil. Hot oil is waiting. Goes through that procedure, then it is mixed with all kinds of, you know, masalas. And then only it becomes ready to be offered. Similarly, our consciousness right now is like a raw potato. And there is false ego. So I was just giving this example when I was doing some program, that material world, just like you have, you have a mixer which makes mango shake or banana shake. So like that, material world is like a mixer. It is ego shake. Adidevik, Adibhautik, Adhyatmik. Three blades are there, going full speed, just designed to chop our ego to pieces. Perfectly designed. And Durga Devi is in control under the instruction of the Lord. And in this way, gradually the purification is taking place. But when a devotee understands that this circumstance is simply a situation for me to be purified for the Lord's pleasure, he is blissful. Therefore, he is willing to go through that burden. And therefore, even in spite of that, if still the problems persist, the devotee is number two, tolerant. Devotee is tolerant because he understands that at the end of the day, I am going to receive the Lord's mercy. So Prabhupada calls it burden of love. If there is a 50 kilo suitcase to be lifted, nobody would want to lift it. And you may say, I've got back pain, you know, I can't lift it. My father also had back pain. His father also had back pain. We have a whole history of back pain and I should not lift this. And someone comes and says, there is 24 karat gold biscuits inside this suitcase. Immediately, there is great enthusiasm to lift that suitcase. And if someone says, do you want any help? No, no, I'll handle it on my own. I can take care of it. What happened to the back pain? That I'll take care later. That's my problem. But right now, I have this chance which is so rare. Why? Because you know, when you go through that, at the end of the journey, you'll get gold. So when we are aware of what is inside, then it is attractive. And we are willing to go through the trouble. And therefore we will not give up the service at any cost. So this is a very important principle. Srila Prabhupada, he one time asked for some kachoris. And the devotee gives his very nice realization. So some kachoris were served to Prabhupada. Prabhupada took one kachori and he said, keep these other two kachoris because I want to try it tomorrow and see how long this kachori stays. Whether it stays 24 hours or not, fresh. So he gave it to his servant. The servant took the kachoris and gave it to the kitchen cook and told the cook, keep it safely. Prabhupada will eat it tomorrow. But the cook was in, you know, so many other services. He said, just keep this here. And then he left. And next day the servant came and asked the cook, Prabhupada is asking for the kachoris. And this cook had not kept this prasadam inside. It was just kept outside somewhere. And in a temple, if you just keep prasad like that, what will happen? So he said, I don't see the prasad. So he said, but Prabhupada is asking for it. So the cook said, I think some cats have eaten it. Because I see some crumbs are there and some cats move here. Please go and tell Prabhupada that the cats have eaten. So the servant went, came running back and said, I told Prabhupada that the cats have eaten. And Prabhupada said, whoever says cat has eaten, he has eaten. So this devotee felt extremely hurt that I didn't eat it. And Prabhupada is accusing me that I have eaten. How can I tolerate this? So this is another challenge while practicing devotional service, that there are not only challenges from without but from within also. The very people with whom we are serving may many times misunderstand, and there may be some problems, negative interactions, and we feel, how can I continue serving? I am trying my sincerest to serve, but still my intentions are being misunderstood. And especially to be misunderstood is very painful. And although it was Srila Prabhupada, but still this devotee felt, how can Prabhupada think like that? I have not eaten, how can he say, I have eaten? But still, this devotee felt, anyway, let me not get distracted. What is the most important thing? Prabhupada wants kachori. Service is important. So this devotee went to the restaurant nearby, got some dough, and immediately in 20 minutes made some fresh kachoris and sent it to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada sent back feedback with the servant. And Prabhupada had 6 of these kachoris. And Prabhupada said, these kachoris were better than the other ones which you had saved. So the devotee realization is, when you are serving, there will be obstacles. There will be problems. But if you concentrate on the obstacles and problems, your service will stop. But most important thing is, service must go on at any cost. And whatever it takes to keep going, you have to do it. Therefore, faith is to believe in that which you do not see. And the reward of this faith is that you will see what you believe. So this is the most important principle. Faith is to believe in what you don't see. And the reward of this faith is you will eventually see what you had believed in. So we have to continue serving faithfully in spite of difficulties. And here, Bharat Maharaj's example is supreme in the sense that he was willing to go through all of this difficulty and challenge in the service of Lord Ramachandra. Although he had not the iota of desire to go back. But he said, if it is the Lord's desire, let me go back, accept this burden on behalf of the Lord. Because he had feeling for the Lord. One devotee called Krishna Das, he came to Prabhupada. Prabhupada had sent him to Sweden to open center. He came to Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, in Sweden there is so much a problem. The people are so materialistic. The government is so against. This happened, this happened, this happened. And so we had to close down the center and I came back. Prabhupada said, your name is Krishna Das, but you are actually Maya Das. And he got bewildered. He said, why? And Prabhupada said, when I came to your country, then I was not expecting a party or a celebration. I was not expecting a nice time. There was so much of difficulty, but I tolerated. And unless I had done that, there would have been no preaching. So therefore, to push on this preaching mission, one has to endure and tolerate all kinds of circumstances, as we see in the example of Maharaj Bharat. So therefore, Bharat Maharaj was again and again requested, but he did not accept this. And in fact, he did not even accuse anyone else for this. He says, na mantraya na cha matarasya dosho na rajan na cha raghavasya madeva papa nimitta asit vana praveshe raghunandanasya. He's saying, mantra is not the cause for all of this difficulty, because she is only a Shudra lady. What else can you expect? Na matarasya, I cannot accuse my mother also, because she had motherly affection and she felt what was good for my son. Doshana Rajan, the king had already given promise. It was not his fault. Nacha Raghavasya, Lord Ramachandra is not at fault, because he had to follow his father's instruction and set an ideal example. Who is responsible? Madeva Papa. Only my own sinful activities are a result of this. Vanapraveshe. And therefore, Lord Ramachandra had to enter into the forest because of my own sins. So any difficulty which a devotee faces, he actually has this consciousness. And we can see in the life of Maharaj Bharat. And therefore, Maharaj Bharat did not accept the throne, although he was qualified to take so. And this is a very important principle. When Lord Ramchandra was crossing the river with Lakshman and Vishwamitra Muni at river Shona, Lord Ram asked Vishwamitra Muni, which point should we cross this river? Because I see that there is nice shallow waters and some sands are here. Which is the appropriate place to cross the river? In Balakanda he asks. So Vishwamitra Muni says, Esha Panta Mayodishto Yenayanti Maharshaya. Let us take this path which the great Maharshis have followed. Great Rishis in the past have crossed the river at this point, and this point is very safe. So the purport is, when we are practicing spiritual life and engaged in service and even tolerating difficulties and pushing on the preaching mission, it should be always following in the footsteps of the previous great souls. So the third principle is humility. Devotee is not only blissful, he is not only tolerant, but because of this, he doesn't feel proud, he is humble and just follows in the footsteps of the previous great souls. Mahajano yena gatha sapanta. Vishwamitra Muni says, yena yanti maharshya, on this path, this point, great rishis have crossed. Let us take this path. So therefore, there is always a challenge that when you follow the tradition, then there is chance that over a period of time there may be stagnation. Because times have changed, places have changed, circumstances have changed. So people have fear that following tradition may lead to stagnation. Therefore, let us innovate. But the problem with innovation means innovation may lead to deviation. So therefore, following tradition may lead to stagnation and innovation may lead to deviation. So what is the right path? So I give the example that when you are on a highway, so the highway is leading to the destination. So we are on the bhakti highway, and that highway given by Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas is leading to a certain destination. So we are on the Gaudiya Vaishnav highway. But even on the highway, when the cars fall behind each other, then the speed of the cars may slow down because there are so many cars in one lane. Therefore, to increase the speed and to go ahead, sometimes you cross the lane, change the lane. And when you change the lane, you can overtake and speed up and go faster to your destination. So when the cars are just one behind another because of intense traffic, there is stagnation. But when the car changes lane, it speeds up. Therefore, this is an example that there is some innovation, but that innovation doesn't change the lane, doesn't change the highway, doesn't change the direction. It only helps in speeding up the progress. But if that person goes on changing lanes one after another and then reaches exit and takes an exit, then there is big problem. So change the lane, don't change the highway. Therefore, the great acharyas have understanding how to apply principles of religion according to desha, kala, patra. Tan sametan mahabhaga upalabhya vasuttama pujayanas dharmagyo desha kala vibhagavit. So Srila Prabhupada, he made certain innovations, but those innovations are not deviations. Those innovations are slight changes in the direction in which the preaching mission was going, so that one could actually go ahead, beat the influence of Kali and proceed ahead and overtake and reach destination faster. But if we are not similarly empowered and we go on trying to make changes, we always have to be careful, make sure that the car doesn't go out of the highway. Therefore, tradition and innovation always have to be balanced. And Bharat Maharaj was offered the throne and he was fully qualified, but what was his reply? Bharat Maharaj said, I will not do something which no one in our entire dynasty has ever done. I will not break this tradition. Nobody has ever accepted the throne in the presence of an elder brother in Raghu Vamsha. I cannot break that tradition. I cannot, this kind of something new would be speculation and deviation. But on the other hand, he also had to fulfill Lord Ram's desire. So he was empowered to use his intelligence of how to fulfill Lord Ramchandra's desire without breaking the tradition. So he took the sandals of Lord Ram, fulfilled the Lord's desires, took the service, but did not accept the facility. Did not accept the facility and all the trappings which come with the service, but he just accepted the essence of service and maintained the tradition. And in this way, Bharat Maharaj's example is so glorious. So therefore, Bharata means burden. Without Krishna consciousness, material opulence is burdensome. In Krishna consciousness, a devotee is willing to accept any burden for the sake of service. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki. So anyone has any questions or any comments? Tomorrow Govind Prabhu will share realizations from our trip also. Yeah?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you mentioned about Kaikeyi, the action that she took was driven by what she thought was best and out of motherly love. So, it obviously does not, it pained the Lord. But most of the time in family life, you know, we believe or we feel that we are taking certain actions for spouse, for children, out of love or affection. And it may not be good for spiritual life. So how does one, you know, get that right balance?
Ask your counselor. And in fact, even when this counselor thing came up, many people were saying, where does Prabhupada mention counselor in his books? The word counselor doesn't come in any of Srila Prabhupada's books. So maybe it is something new. But this whole concept was taking care of devotees. Prabhupada says, you have to take care of people, take care of devotees. Therefore, a system has been created so that devotees can be taken care. So, it is an adjustment so that the whole process of taking care of devotees can be speeded up and can be helped and enhanced. So that is not a deviation or a speculation. It is an implementation of the principle in a certain way, which is very much within the principles of Vaishnava Seva. So therefore you have to refer to the details of how to take care, you know, to devotees who know you completely. Because what is applicable to you may not be applicable to someone else. Each person has a specific, you know, rule to follow according to time, place and circumstance. So each individual is unique and different. So Prabhupada would give one instruction to one person, exactly opposite instruction to another. If you just take that conversation and then apply it, it will be major chaos. Therefore Prabhupada said, my books are the law books, not my conversations and my other things. Because Ravindra Surupra was saying, I can start a business that whatever Prabhupada quote you want on any subject, I can supply. You pay me some money and I'll supply that quote and help you fulfill whatever you want. Because if you take conversations, Shikshamrit, all of these put together, letters which Prabhupada wrote, there are so many different ways in which he has advised different people. So therefore, in Kaikeyi's case, Kaikeyi was taking advice from mantra and she got polluted by mantra. So therefore, in family life, you have many mantras in form of materialistic people, relatives, friends, society, neighbors, who are trying to tell you what is best for you. So therefore, it is your choice whether you take advice of those who are not in Krishna consciousness, who have envious and ulterior motives, or you take advice of devotees who are helping you progress in Krishna consciousness. So, like that. Jai Shila Prabhupada ki, Jai Gaur Premanande.